turn that on because they didn't do last week.
Put on what? On higher?
He's just trying to get slapped.
Dance with hot coffee. All right, let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for progression on our end, Lord. I thank you for growth. I thank you for never quitting on us. And Lord, I pray that we take the long game, that we think in terms of kingdom building, and that we are honored to be participants in that, and that there is a fight, and that we don't have to fight every fight, that we're just kind of soldiers in your army, Lord. And I pray for our children, I pray for our grandchildren, the next generation that's coming up behind us, that we stand firm on our forefathers' shoulders, therefore they can stand firm on ours, Lord. And that we portray rightly and live out rightly your word. We know your word, we apply it, and that others are either in love with you because of it or offended. But either way, Lord, that your word goes out in truth. Be with us this next 45 minutes. And speaking of truth, Lord, let us sharpen one another through your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to wrap up. We're going to land the plane, hopefully not in a disastrous way like that. We're going to land the plane on sexualizing our children, which I hate to say that way, but I meant to do that. All right, there we go. Sexualizing the children. So really, thus far in this chapter, we've really seen kind of two components. And the first one is the corrupting influence of our education system with the concept of hit them young, right? Start them young. The government, now we get the free, we had the free kindergarten, now we have the free pre-kindergarten, and now it's going to be, you know, free birth, you know, whatever, you know. So separate the children from the parents, we get them isolated, we can really cordon off others' influence, and we can brainwash and indoctrinate however we see fit, and it's the government's job. Remember, Craig gave us that quote about the lady, that it's the government's job, how dare you parents think y'all are the authority, you know, that kind of thing. And then Hitler's quote, he alone who owns the youth gains the future. So there is an understanding, it is a long game, right? Because in America, we saw that this seed of evil began like in the 30s, right? It came from Europe, came over here, and we've just let it sow its own seeds. And we've known about it, but we quietly just let them be. So what do you think of Christian colleges? We didn't talk about it. Craig didn't talk about it, but it's in the chapter. And Christian colleges are kind of in a bind in the midst of all this, right? So what do y'all know about it, or what have y'all heard about that situation in the news in the past 10 years?
They're trying to force them into accepting some of this stuff. If they're private, they can't. But
the LGBTQ XYZ stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And other things.
Yep,
that's
and
the
other
main
things.
Thing they're going after.
Yeah, remember, government can control the purse strings, right? The dollars and all that. And then there's the accreditation aspect, too. I mean,
right.
If Alpha's not accredited, what's going to happen to it? Would Alpha go down if it's not accredited? I mean, I don't know.
Become homeschool.
It'd be expensive homeschool, right?
Yeah.
But, so the Christian colleges, if they lose accreditation, what's going to happen? Would they dry up?
Yeah,
I think it would depend on the industries too, right?
I mean, because I went to a Christian college first that wasn't accredited, but that was my choice, and it was in my church organization.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it thrived, and it's still thriving to this day, and they're still not accredited.
Yeah.
So
it depends
for over 30 years.
I think it also depends on the career the person coming out of that college wants to obtain. I mean, because for instance, our son looked at Laterno, but ended up at University of North Texas. Because of what he wants to do with his life. So I think it has a lot to do with that, too.
Right. The licensure.
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's government, isn't it? I mean, right now it's state, right? So we have state boards on everything.
Well.
The recorder's on, so I'm going to refrain. But, I mean, right now it's at a state level. And so, I mean, what if Beto O'Rourke and people of his ilk, you know, maybe they get elected governor and then they start infiltrating And then all of a sudden, it could be of a different worldview that the licensing boards require a certain accreditation, and you're not eligible if you taught, if you took a Bible class in your college undergrad, you're not eligible for any. I mean, it's real plausible.
Hey, Craig.
Yes.
Can I see you just a second?
Sure. I mean, it's possible within just 6 years.
Yeah, well, TDCJ right now requires, like, if there's a position that requires a degree, a 4-year college degree, it has to be from an accredited university.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it requires, you know, a four-year college and 4 years of experience, and you don't have a college degree, you have to have 8 years of experience,
right,
related experience.
Yeah.
So, and then you can substitute it for industrial,
right,
college experience for a year, for years of college, but it has to be accredited.
Yeah. So times are changing, right?
I mean, it's been like that for
a while.
Yeah. So in our field in mental health, I have a friend who went to. She's Assembly of God, and I think there's a grad program in somewhere south of Fort Worth. I forget. There's a university there, and it's not accredited. And she went there, got her master's, and our state board, you know, ended up getting her license for counseling. So there's, you know, we're not under oppression right now, but man, the infrastructure is there to be manipulated. That's kind of my point. All right, so that was the first one, the corrupting influence on our education system, which I'm going to put a plug in for our next men's group. We're going to hit that pretty hard, the education system. The second part that Craig covered was really the larger society is becoming more woke, right? The transgenders, the public library, what's up, J-Doc? The story hour, you can find books at public schools where there's diagrams of little boys doing nasty things to other little boys and just horrible stuff that's just right there, right?
Right, a lot in Houston.
Yeah, but yeah. They want to book burn some conservative things. And
Charlotte's Web.
It's goofy stuff, you know. And functionally speaking, Amazon and those guys online that don't carry certain books, that's equivalent to book burning back in the 40s and all that. So the entertainment industry, I forget what company it was, but they've come out with a transgender doll, you know, not too broad of shoulders, not too pronounced breasts, not too pursed lips, not too bulgy thighs. I mean, just, it's all proportional to just be a human, you know. And I remember just not too long ago, y'all remember the terms asexual and metrosexual?
Asexual still.
That's kind of falling off. Well, asexual
is? Metrosexual is now like, that's not politically correct.
It's just falling off of our narrative, isn't it? And
cisgender is what we basically what sex you are when you're born. You're born a male, you believe you're a male.
Mm-hmm. You're so consistent with your birth sexuality.
Your sexuality.
Yeah. Because, you know, up until just like 6 or 10 years ago.
Okay, explain metrosexual, because I haven't thought of the link here.
Basically, it's a guy that takes care of himself and sometimes he pampers and foo-foos himself.
Some of our kids,
like they get manicures or pedicures,
but still
or
straight.
Really hot, but still completely straight. Just very, but like really likes to take care of himself in a very
often mistaken.
Maybe face masks or gets his, you know, eyebrows tweezed, those kind of things.
Okay.
It's just a person.
Like JJ.
Looking good today.
Dude, you need to sit over here and pick on it. The pick on chair.
You're going to shoot him right away.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah. So our language has changed.
Yeah.
You know, the words we're exposed to are not, you know, no longer exposed to. Yeah, and it's so subtle, right? It's just slipping in. And then the processed goals to normalize the bizarre, and the bizarre is unhealthy, unnatural, or ungodly. And with things being so easily accessible, I mean, what is bizarre? You know what I mean?
So many things.
Bizarre is not
in
God's word.
Yeah.
What's bizarre is that we put up with this stuff.
That's a good point. Yeah. But that's more of the process rather than the content, right? The bizarre content, by definition, bazaar is kind of limited or restricted, isn't it? I mean, an F-150 is not a bazaar vehicle because they're everywhere, right? An Alfa Romeo would be a bazaar car, or Lamborghini, because they're not everywhere, right? So it's the volume or number. So anything that's all unnatural, kinky, nasty, we would still consider it bizarre because it's not everywhere yet, right? Wasn't it the Hunger Games where there was a lot of bizarre stuff, but it was so prevalent that it was normalized, mm-hmm. right? Yes. So, I mean, that kind of stuff, that's a metrosexual, an example of metrosexual. Some of those guys.
Or asexual.
That's more yeah, that's asexual. Yeah. Right. So then on the horizon is legalizing the pedophilia. That's kind of that. Then it's going to be the natural progression, right? It's going to be the natural progression.
Then what are they going to do? Let all the guys in jail that are, you know, people in jail that are pedophiles out because they're no longer considered a criminal.
Yeah, and they'll go back.
They won't go back because it's not considered a criminal.
They'll go back to doing exactly
what they were doing.
No, I mean the law. It'll be retroactive. And, yeah, they'll go back. You know it's coming. So, are you guys tired of all the stressful content so far?
No.
I mean, this chapter. Okay, when we first started, Craig
stressful
looked at the list.
This content ticks me off. Okay. I'm not just gonna tell.
Well, you might want to step out of the room next. But when we first looked at the text and all that, Craig was like, "Look, I gotta have this chapter. I really want to talk about this." I'm like, "Oh, come on, man!" But it's stressful. But thankfully, I mean, the sexualized children chapter is not technically about that. You know what I mean? It's a little bit broader scoped.
It's kind of like Biden want to spend, I don't remember how much money, to provide drug paraphernalia for drug addicts, which is supposed to be illegal. We put people in jail for that.
Yeah.
So you're going to provide them with something. What's that mean? You're going to go pick them up and put them in jail and give that stuff to the ITIS. Yeah. I was like, what? It doesn't make any sense.
A crack pipe in every house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think CF talks about this.
Crack pipe
ethical. But it's an ethical argument too. So this is the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right?
Okay.
And so if
weird hat.
It's the Sanders rendition of an actual historical
Jeff Sanders rendition.
Yeah. Scratch that, BJ. So anyway, the idea is that this is Biden's argument. This is Biden's argument. This is, you know, whatever. There's all these arguments, but if you keep adding on to it, eventually the whole structure is going to collapse. The argument will collapse. So I forget what the term is, but if you keep adding, if you take their arguments to the logical conclusion, it collapses at the end of the day. So that's why they want to keep it in the realm of safety, right? But anyway. All right, so now, are y'all ready for more of an optimistic, positive message? I did a lot of digging.
Is that to say my message wasn't optimistic or positive?
You wrapped it up. That's exactly
what he wrapped it up really nicely, though.
There's a stone this big, and you're talking about it wrapping around your neck and getting chunked in the lake. That's not very optimistic. You would die. I'm just saying.
I think he did a very optimistic wrap up.
He did. Very hopeful.
He told us not to worry about what you said. He was going to fix it.
Okay. That's how I started it. If you were here, you would have known.
Thanks.
All right, so this is our federal government back to school address.
Oh, God.
Hello. I am Suzanne Goldberg, Acting Assistant Secretary for the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. Returning to school can be both exciting and nerve-wracking for many students. Maybe you're starting a new school or returning to in-person learning after a long time away. Maybe you're worried about making friends or keeping up with a challenging new class. If you're a transgender student, perhaps you're worried about simply being accepted and safe and being treated with respect as you head into the new school year.
I'm Kristen Clark, the Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division at the U.S. Department of Justice. We know that many school administrators and educators are doing their best to make schools safe and welcoming places for all students, including LGBTQI students. We appreciate the work they do.
Intersex.
But we also know that that's not the reality for all transgender students, including perhaps some of you. In some places, people in positions of authority are putting up obstacles that would keep you from playing on the sports field, accessing the bathroom, and receiving the supportive and life-saving care you may need. We're here to say that's wrong, and it's against the law. Hello.
I'm positive I've seen that part of that video.
Oh no! I don't know how to fast forward it.
Just open it up in YouTube.
Yeah, open it up in YouTube then.
I have no comment.
Oh no, he downloaded it.
Yeah, I don't have online access. Oh no, y'all.
You have it.
I can get you
online. Yes. Commercial for homeschool.
You want online access? Go to your little.
I mean.
Staff.
Well, my thing is they're talking about, and I've dealt with this at TDC, and that's why.
Yeah, no, go say.
They're talking about that way, you know, giving them the rights to whatever bathroom they want to use.
Capital.
So, yeah.
When you walk in a bathroom as a female, and there's a male in there doing his thing. You know, you're just like, I just turned around and went out.
Send me back to school.
But they finally passed the rule that if you have those parts, you have to go to that restroom. You can't go to that restroom.
Just so that y'all see, I'm exercising love here, even though he was ugly to me. I'm being kind to him.
Such a good example of elder body.
Well, or female anymore.
Oh, now we're seeing what kind of videos you watch. Monster Fish Live under these ducks.
Hello. I am Suzanne Goldberg, Acting Assistant Secretary for the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. We want you to know that we are looking out for you, and we're here to protect your civil rights.
That one?
Nope.
Hello.
All right.
Assistant Secretary for Health. We know at the United States Department of Health and Human Services that learning environments free from bullying and harassment are vital to making sure that all students flourish, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. It is critical to support trans youth, their parents, and families to help them achieve the good health and well-being that everyone deserves.
We have many federal government resources for you. If you face discrimination or harassment at school because you are transgender, you can file a complaint with the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights at ed.gov/OCR. You can also find much more information and resources on a dedicated page for LGBTQI+ students at ed.gov/OCR/LGBT. Or just Google LGBTQI+ students and OCR, and you will find your way there.
We want to hear from you. You can file a complaint with the Justice Department at civilrights.justice.gov. The information is available in multiple languages. Discrimination will not be accepted on our watch. Right now, we are fighting against laws that try to ban transgender athletes in West Virginia and deny health care for transgender young people in Arkansas. And recently, federal courts in both states have blocked those laws from being applied. Discrimination and bullying have no place in our nation's schools. We all learn better when we are in safe and welcoming environments. If you are being bullied or know someone who is, we encourage you to visit stopbullying.gov for more information and resources. President Biden sent an unequivocal message to the transgender community, quote, "To all transgender Americans watching at home, especially the young people, I want you to know your president has your back," unquote. Well, I want all of you to know that I have your back too, and I will do everything that I can to support and advocate for our community. We stand behind you and are ready to act to defend your rights. Best of luck for this next school year.
I join my colleagues in wishing you all the best for an enriching and fulfilling school year.
What?
You notice they're protecting everybody but straight people.
Where did they
who was this?
Like, who are they targeting?
Who's where? Targeted in this? Like, was it a high school student? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Is it a lot of URLs?
It's
so,
even an elementary.
But an elementary school student wouldn't watch that and write to their.
Yeah, I left MRIC 2 years ago, and there was a kindergarten transgender student being pushed by parents. And so then, you know, part of my whole dilemma leaving was, am I going to get a typical kindergartner when this now female pretending talks about their private parts, am I going to get the other kindergartner in trouble for saying, oh, he's got one like me? Well, yeah. Of course not. Yeah. They're kindergartners. That's what they
right.
do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not just Houston. It's not just San Antonio. It's not just Austin. And that's one case in one school, and we had multiple. And it's
everywhere.
It's everywhere. I guarantee you it's in Huntsville.
Well, I believe that it's in the elementary school students. I'm just wondering who that video was targeted
to. Well, that would be high school
because
they're telling you, the audience,
yeah.
to file a claim and grievance.
Right.
Which
they
is
didn't
separating
say, tell
from
your parents,
parents, right?
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
protecting you from all the
yeah.
people who won't give you life-saving treatment. What?
Health care.
It's also, this video kind of ostracizes all the other students because it's only for these students.
So they're discriminating in their non-discriminatory
yes.
methods, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so that's really about
kids
victim.
Only bully then.
Right.
You know,
they don't bully. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not bullying to walk into a restroom as a woman and have a man there. I mean, that's not bullying.
No.
Well, it'd be bullying for me to say, you can't be in this restroom. Yeah. You know, that's bullying.
They've had a lot of instances, especially on the West Coast, if you look up like healthcare statistics, like UTIs for girls under the age of 12 is like 500% higher because they will not go to the bathroom now because there are boys in there.
Yeah.
And so they hold it all day, and UTIs are off the charts for these babies because they're afraid to go to the bathroom.
Where's and that's the area that you were talking about that there actually happened to me at TDC.
Yeah.
Well, what?
I walked into a bathroom and there was a transgender.
At the BOT?
At the BOT, yeah. I don't remember what the company was, but there was a company there that was turning paper documents into scans
mm-hmm.
that TDC was paying them, and they were there for a while.
Yeah.
And I went and reported it to my supervisor, and they did take care of it. What they determined is that if you have male parts, you go to the male restroom. If you have female parts, you go to the female restroom.
That's how we treat our inmates.
And, you know, or like she said, whatever your license says, that's what you're going to do. So it didn't happen again after that, but it was very uncomfortable. I mean, I turned around and walked out. I was like, what the heck?
So part of the problem is, though, like state of Texas let this kindergartner now on their birth certificate be female. And so then it's going to reflect on driver's license.
Well, that's when you have to go to unisex bathrooms. And I'm like,
or this is the point where you step in with a millstone. Okay. And you correct this nonsense. A millstone comes in.
Because your birth certificate is, that's a county thing.
It's a government document.
Yeah. And that's a county judge thing. I mean, you know, we have means, county or district clerk.
Just like you said, there's other states, and I think it's Washington or maybe in other countries, where you don't even have to decide and put something. You don't have to put a gender down.
That's a lot of places.
Our birth certificates at Memorial Hermann, I haven't seen it, but I heard that they now have male, female, and unidentified or unlisted or something like that.
No,
and that
no.
is as of a few months ago.
Wow. Look, we gotta keep pushing back against that.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to make a stand on these kind of issues and say we're not going to put up with this.
Yeah.
Well, part of the problem is our social media is how we communicate. And in any time of war, the first thing that the opponent does is cut off communications. So now we try to post something on social media that defends our position.
And you go to Facebook jail.
And we go to jail. we're put out.
But you know, like
so
like what happened?
We're allowed to communicate.
But what happened here with the civil or the what was that black thing on the square?
Yeah.
Whatever that was about.
They're still doing that. Okay.
But I mean, we do word of mouth at the local level still works.
Yeah.
So forget all that stuff.
That's a very local level, though.
Yeah.
You can't get it out.
You know, the thing is, if you stop the conversation of of godly people, then all of a sudden it's like, well, there must not be very many godly people out there. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. We're a Christian nation still, and yet the minority is ruling us because we don't stand up and say, no, we're not going to take it.
Right. We've historically assumed we're in the majority while our numbers dwindle.
Our numbers are dwindling, but they haven't dwindled that far.
Right. Well, we think.
Not allowed to communicate, though.
We took
our First Amendment away from
us. We are able to communicate.
Not effectively.
Have you ever heard of Gitter? Anybody familiar with Gitter? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a platform that...
Okay, the problem is nobody's ever heard of it.
Yeah.
They have a couple hundred thousand subscribers already, right?
Yeah, so against millions of others.
It's a start.
Even though it is an echo chamber at this point.
Yeah. It's G-E-T-T-R.
So it's Gab. They're all like that.
Yeah. And Parler is kind of the... They're out there, and people are getting intolerant of. There's a lot of people that are vote Democrat or consider themselves on the left or whatever that are to the point it's like, this is getting ridiculous, y'all. You're hearing more and more of just rationality winning. You know, even the far left in Canada is like, yo, this is really, you're going to suspend their bank account. Well, if you're doing it to that dude and that dude and that dude, at what point are you going to mess over me? So, you know, we start personalizing it, and out of self-interest, everybody wants to, hey, y'all need to put the brakes on this. It's getting a little overcharged.
It's also, it's taken some time for them to get apps, you know, running,
right,
because they controlled all the servers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this has been a project. It couldn't just instantly be turned on.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, a lot of politics behind it, but they're up and running.
All I'm saying is our First Amendment needs protection way more than our Second Amendment, because our Second Amendment won't do us a nickel's worth of good if we can't organize and fight back. The First Amendment is the most important amendment in the Constitution, and we've let them take that away without even a whimper.
Right, well, then the elitists are considering this as a private business, not a public forum.
Yeah.
And so as long as they have that division down there, they're going to regulate the tar out of all these cats.
So we keep respecting their rights while they violate ours.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, and that's what elitists, by definition, that's why they're the elitist, right? Yeah. It's a one-way street. We funnel that way and nothing comes this way.
And I think that we also have to call out misleading statements, because like one of the things that they said in there, she said that West Virginia is wanting to hold back health care. They don't want to hold back health care. They want to hold back funding transgender
surgeries all that,
but not health care. Basic health care is not what they're doing. So there's these misleading statements, and then people hear that and go, oh, can't believe they don't want to provide health care for language matters.
Well, yeah, they've hijacked health care. Because abortion is health care.
And 50% of the people in an abortion die.
Right.
Yeah.
Say that again?
50% of the people involved in an abortion die.
It's a dad joke. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a sick dad joke.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
So, what was the tone of the video? What was the attitude that the adults displayed?
We're here for you.
Yeah, we're gonna. You're the victim. We're gonna be. We're the sword. We're we're the all's general. We're gonna charge against the enemy. Right.
We have nothing better to do.
The government has your back.
Yeah. So how would you describe the content and process? The content would be kind of who, right? Who and what. So what was the content of that video?
It's about protecting transgender students or them having their rights protected.
Yeah, we want you to have
a great school year.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then what's the process, though?
Filing complaints.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Report.
Go deeper.
If you feel bullied or anything like that.
What's the message? What's said but not stated?
That they're in control. Yeah. Like they're in positions of authority. Mm. They're not bringing in physicians saying these things. They're bringing in the federal government. Mm. If you see this, report it. Even though they're saying it in a kind way, mm-hmm. everyone else, the other 98% of the students who are not transgender, are getting threatened in a nice way. Because you better watch what you're doing. Because we're telling all these kids, the second they feel the least bit threatened by you, to report to us directly.
I feel like they're back. I feel like they're also saying, you are the victim. And it keeps them in that victim mentality where they're like, I am, and I need someone to take care of me.
Yes, and as the victim, they're just the mechanism for what?
Control.
Yeah,
control.
To be used.
The real message in that video is every one of us in the room is the enemy. Mm-hmm. That's the real
message. That's the message, but the end game is control.
Yes.
And they're, the transgender kids are just as much ignorant pawns as you and I are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it is, right? Because they're not the elites. They're down here with us. They're just going, yeah, we're going to watch this.
Most of them are transgender because they are a pawn. Because they're not really transgender.
Yeah, oh yeah. Dr.
I mean,
that's
a kindergartner.
They also used all women in the video.
They did use all women in the
video.
Well,
so
it's not intimidating.
Thanks to
the
woman.
Yeah.
Well, but
they all present that.
They present.
Right, they present as a woman that cares, that's motherly. I'm taking care of you.
Yeah, there's not a 20-year-old on there, is there?
No, there's not.
And you didn't see an 80-year-old.
And that one woman didn't really look like a woman.
Director, she's a man.
I'm like,
it was really Ray Levine.
Her gorilla hand.
Yeah. You know, one thing to forget, the government wants to separate everything. No individualism, okay? When did it start? And I don't know who it was. I think it was Reagan. I'm not sure. When the public education was taken away from the states, okay, and we need to go back and say to our governor or our representative, if we vote somebody, ask a question, are you for federal education or not? If they are, forget about it. We need to go back to the states. Because if you go back to the states, and then the state, the moment the government comes in and says, I sue you, because you have no right in our states, because we, as a people, can control small government. We can't control the federal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So once the states rebel, and they bring it back to the states, so California has all gay, fine, go there, but not here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get rid of the federal government.
Off our back porch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
No. I totally agree.
But the states don't do that, and we look to the federal government.
But I think it was before Reagan. I think it goes
Carter.
Back to Nebuchadnezzar. That's mankind, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, that's just mankind.
The education
that
here.
Was Jimmy what Carter. Was
I don't know who it was, but whoever it was, we need
the
to
Department of Education.
Education, there is no Department of Education. There is no.
The federal government should not be in education.
Yeah, well, they're all those strings attached.
There shouldn't
man.
Be in a lot of things.
And federal highway dollars. I mean, they're just so stinking manipulative. It's sick. All right, so now that the adults have spoken, what do you expect to see as a consequence of all this stuff? You got the motherly, not a grandmotherly, it's motherly, same age as your principal that you love, right? She's always there for you, on your side. What do you expect to see as a consequence of all that in these kids?
The lawyers are going to get rich next.
Huh?
The lawyers are going to get rich
next. No, and the kids. The kids. What consequence or effect do you see
in
the kids?
A lot of these kids are emboldened to be, you know, however they identify, and it creates this little like subculture of, you know, LGBTQ kids in different schools and whatnot, and becomes like a cultural trend, and kids like want to join it and stuff. And then also there's like a lot of, I've been seeing lately a lot of those kids becoming the bully, and like I've seen like middle schoolers like uploading photos on social media, videos of those kids bullying, and it's just they are. They just have this "we're superior" type mentality.
They're weaponized.
We're protected. We're protected.
Yeah,
they're weaponized.
Protected. You can't touch us.
Yeah.
You want to join? It's like join us, or I mean, it sounds so like join
or
us.
Or have, I'll have the IRS audit your parents. And
yeah, it sounds like so, but that's what I've seen.
Yeah. So, what do kids look like who fall in line with this worldview?
Miserable.
I'll show you a couple.
They're miserable.
Well, like our next door neighbor's grandkids, we were over there talking about the. He got in trouble because they have furries
New
in
Waverly
their school. Event.
They have what?
Furries. They identify as like dogs
creatures.
Or cats or whatever. They can wear. Like he said, I can't wear. He said I can't wear like flannel pants to school, but they can wear tails and ears and stuff like that.
What? Oh,
you're serious.
He's an eighth grader. Yeah. You love this kid. You want to slap him, but you love him. Actually, let me show you a few something about how these what these kids look like.
You won't miss them.
Just because I may present more femme, doesn't mean that I'm any less they them.
You know what that thing where you're eating a meal, but you're not really eating a meal, you're just kind of picking at food on the counter? My family and I were doing that one night, and I just kind of looked at them and said, hey guys, I'm non-binary. I don't have a gender.
In my opinion, gender is a universe. It is a broad spectrum of planets and stars and sky that truly cannot be contained into a binary.
My pronouns are they, them, theirs, and that's a non-negotiable. And they were all kind of like, okay.
I think one of the main reasons pronouns are so important is because other than our name, it's one of the main ways that people identify and call us.
My pronouns are personally very important to me. Growing up, you know, enculturated into kind of a system that really subscribes to toxic masculinity, I was always uncomfortable with being called dude, you know, what's up man. I was so bad at dapping people up, like, you know, how like guys like do that whole like that thing. I was so bad at that, and it just like, I felt very alienated every time someone would do that to me.
So when someone identifies with a pronoun, they're essentially taking their little piece of that broad universe and identifying with that. And so in using their correct pronouns, we're validating that, yes, you are right in your identity and you are important and we're respecting you.
Coming into terms with my gender queer identity has been one of the most challenging but also rewarding things that I've done.
Laverne Cox kind of famously said, misgendering a trans person is an act of violence. And it is. It's an act of psychological violence. It's a denial of somebody's personhood and a complete refusal to acknowledge their identity, whether intentional or not.
And so it is something that is entirely wrapped around our everyday lives. So just walking into a restaurant and hearing someone say she, like, will happen within 2 seconds of me entering, which doesn't happen about any of my other identities. They're not gonna be like, oh, you straight person. You know, like, that doesn't happen. But automatically someone will make assumptions about gender, which translate into pronouns, which mean that I will hear over and over again people saying something about my identity which is false.
I think a lot of people associate expression with identity, and sometimes that's not the case. You know, oftentimes I'm in situations where I'm not the most safe being able to express my gender identity, and in those cases, even in those instances where I'm wearing basketball shorts or sneakers, you can't take my gender identity away from me because that's mine and not yours.
So many different options for who you are and how to define that. So when someone chooses a personal pronoun that they identify with, using that pronoun is a form of respect and a form of validation that, yes, this is your rightful identity and I will respect that.
And I know personally when I get misgendered, by strangers it's one thing, but it's especially painful when it's people who are close to you. So when my parents misgender me, it's a knife in my heart because they're the people whose opinions matter more to me than anybody else's.
And not knowing how to combat it. It is constant and it is such a prevalent part of our society that being misgendered happens countless times in a day, and that builds up really quickly and it can really be difficult for a person to hear over and over again because it invalidates your identity over and over and over again.
Pronouns are important because they are the smallest and easiest way that you can acknowledge somebody's identity.
And I also don't like that people call them their preferred pronouns because it's also not a preference. It's who they are. You need to use those pronouns. It's literally an extension of my arm or my leg. It's just as a part of me as a vital organ. My identity, although you can't see it, still needs to be validated just as much as you would validate the fact that I have 5 fingers or 5 toes.
They need to wear a sign around their commitment.
Yeah. That's who did this, that video.
And yet God created male and female.
But the problem is it's not sustainable. We cannot literally memorize. I mean, it's not sustainable. Right. You walk into a restaurant, you will stop talking to people because you can't know unless they wear something that says they. I mean,
yeah.
What's really?
So think about right now. Think about right now. Think of your response, your reaction in your head to that. How does it compare to what the Lord says you need to be?
Well, it looks to me like that's a perfect picture of a person the Lord turned over to futility of their
Romans 1, right?
Thank you. That's right.
Yeah. Well, but everybody is salvageable, right? Is that person worse than you before you came to Christ?
No.
No, right? Without Christ, we're all in the same boat to hell, right?
You can't save that person without the person realizing the truth if they refuse.
You can't save that person regardless.
No, I know that.
But we still have our mission before us, right? Right.
I think you said truth, and my thought was in love.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I respect those people, but I'm not going to call them they and them. I'm going to call you
your name.
Yes. Exactly. So I'm going to come up and say, to the bedside, and I'm going to say, so, John, blah, 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 blah. Instead of saying, how are you, ma'am, or yes, sir, or no, sir, I'm just going to say, okay, John, we'll do that way.
That's easy.
Well, if I have a tag, it says, John,
four words. Yai? All right, cool.
So I make it a habit of, like, if we have parents that are LGBTQ, then I learn both their names so that I can call their names. Instead of saying mom and dad, so like we had two women and one wanted to be called dad. I would not call him her dad. I would call her by her
first. Right, and that's because the love of God's word supersedes
right.
the love of man.
Right.
Right.
What I was telling her was sad is it's their whole identity. Like, it's, you know, you see on profiles and just everywhere stickers where it's like, there's usually like the gay or transgender flag or whatever, pride flag, and it'll say, it is my whole identity. Like, they're very open about, like, it's my life, it's a priority, it's like, they focus a lot of energy on it. And like, that's why they can have a 5-minute video on it.
Their identity.
But it's sad. Yeah.
Their identity is not in Christ, it's in self.
Yeah,
it's exactly, they're so stinking fragile.
It's sad.
And it's kind of like what Bernie was talking about, how
it's exhausting.
The fascists hate peace. They hate being discounted. They hate being minimized. They hate being ignored. They hate being treated like one of a billion people, right?
They're special.
They're snowflakes.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, goth came out, right? Mm-hmm. Goth was the black and of all the black. And it's kind of like,
emo.
Then it morphed into the called emo. But goth started because it's like, hey, we're social misfits. All the social misfits. Let's come over here and create our own social group, right? But when you create your own social group, you're not a misfit anymore because you fit in. So it's a selection bias, right? It's kind of like, hey, I'm a misfit, let me join y'all.
So, Jim,
that doesn't make any sense.
I have a question. So is genetics just going to go by the wayside? I mean, can you see this person giving a lecture in college on genetics, on X and Y chromosomes?
There are still, but look at this. There's still debate over an alcoholic gene, right? For the past 40 years, they've been debating. Is there a gene that predisposes you to become an alcoholic or not? And the whole gay thing came out.
Debate over X's and Y's?
You're not going to debate anything because college is about indoctrination only.
So we'll just not have genetics.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Yeah, that's already happening now.
There's actually a book called End of Gender, and it's about that whole, it's kind of about that whole approach, like talking about, their argument is your sex gender, it doesn't actually come from your chromosomes. It's like a whole teaching.
It's the idea he was saying, well, your expression is not, it doesn't have to be congruent to your identity. So I can dress like this, but think of myself as a pixie. And under here I can wear little wings or something.
That's somewhat true to an extent in the sense of, like, when we talk about girls can be like tomboys, and there's some boys who are more like,
feminine.
Yeah, and to an extent that's true. But what's happened is you take it and then you just,
they run with the extreme.
On the continuum. Yeah, Bernie.
I mean, I hate to say this, okay?
Uh-oh. You mean pause this?
No, I'm serious. No, it's not that. The sad thing is, they won already, and you know why? Because we are discussing that, and that's exactly, in the fundamental church.
Yep.
It's like the camel put the nose under the tent, right? The first thing we should do is cut off the nose. We don't belong here. I don't want to talk about it. What do you mean, talk about it? Oh, you need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. And so you get one sympathetic.
And
it's
you let them in.
I want to know.
Okay.
But but I don't want to be to the point
where they're the predominant subject of our discussions.
Right. Yeah. Just,
it gives them credibility.
Right.
It's an acknowledgement that they're an established people group or something.
For me, it's like this.
And they're not.
You listen it a little bit, you bring it back to the scripture. But as the scripture says, mm-hmm. it's an abomination. Exactly. It's done. Go on.
But it intersects with our... intersects with our daily... I'm questioning my use of normal words now. But it's in our daily lives.
I understand that.
Oh,
gosh.
Yeah. But what we need to be more bold. If we have to approach somebody, John or Christy or whatever her name is, okay, and say, listen, I understand where you're coming from, and that's your problem. It's your prerogative. But to me, I'm not judging you, honestly. But God does. Well, don't bring God into the life. Well, that's my life. My life is ruled by God, and God says it's no. Now, if you don't believe in God, there's nothing I can do about it. Always bring God back in. Because he can defend himself. We don't have to defend God.
Right.
Yes.
Okay? But we are spokesmen. But we're discussing stuff to the point, it's getting to the point we don't even bring God in. We need to bring God in right away. If somebody approaches you, you know, we want to love him, but
right.
there has to be a point where we bring it back up to God, and then if they reject God, there's nothing we can do.
Right.
You move on to the next one, because you spend so much time on one. Anyway,
yeah, we're going to pick up here next week. We're going to change our schedule. We're going to... Next week, I was going to move to the next chapter next week, but we'll land this plane.
Just landing.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like the scripture tells us, we're supposed to think on things lovely, just and pure, and of a good report. Do we spend this much time and effort talking about prostitution? Do we spend this much time and effort talking about adultery? Do we spend, you know what I mean? Sins are equal, whether it's the LGBT or whatever. It's still a sexual sin, you know? So how much of time and attention are we going to spend on it? And I agree with you. And it doesn't fall into the, is it lovely, is it just, is it pure, is it of a good report?
Mm-hmm. And sins of a sexual nature are a different beast.
True that,
right?
But is that where you're going to spend your time and energy on a regular daily basis?
Right.
I understand the conversation for this class, for the book, that type of thing, but on my regular daily basis, it's not an issue for me. Yes, I work in the secular world. Yes, I run into these situations. I speak in love, I walk in love, but I don't dwell on it.
Right.
I don't dwell on the sin.
Yeah.
I got a perfect
example. Hold on.
I was going to say, why are we talking about it? It's a response to what the world is doing at this point in time.
To the children.
You know, and that's
the
main focus of what's going on. Is that why are we talking about it? Because it's outside the church and it's affecting everything, and it is coming into the church.
Right.
You don't think it's in the church? It is in the church because you can look.
And bear in mind, this is just one Lego part. This is just one little brick in the wall that we're kind of building in the context of this book, which is a Christian response to modern American cultural denigration. Really,
mm-hmm. I mean, the sad thing is, you can take. I mean, even in this church, I mean, you take if you could take a survey of just the youth and what they believe. Mm-hmm. You're going to be very surprised.
Very
extremely
surprised.
Surprised.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised at all.
And you have families, and I know a family like this that they raised their daughter in the church. She's now, 28, 29 years old? And she's decided that she's bi. And, you know, we have to equip those parents, you know, and encourage them to be supportive of them. And if this is going on in their life, we shouldn't be...
dismissive.
We shouldn't act in such a way that they feel like they have to hide that.
Right.
Yeah.
That they can bring that out and go, you know, I'm struggling with this. This is my daughter.
That's being genuine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Being genuine, having friends, really thinking. I mean, I call you guys my family, right? I mean, this is our family. This is who we are.
Well, this
to
is
me,
what?
It's one thing to be supportive. It's another thing to speak the truth. I mean, I'm just going to say this. I have a daughter who believes she's bi.
Mm-hmm.
She's with a guy right now, but she could change her mind tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I still speak truth into her, and I let her know, you can choose to do that, and I'm going to love you anyway, but this is where I stand, and this is what God says.
Right.
And I'm not going to not stand on that.
But the thing is, okay, so what do you do if this next Christmas she has a girlfriend? Is the girlfriend invited to the house over? Those are kind of the conundrum
that
you find yourself in.
You know, keep her out of things. I'm still going to love her, And I'm still going to, as an adult, she can do what she wants to do.
Right.
But she's going to know where I stand. I mean, I have gay friends that know where I stand, that I've had conversations with, mm-hmm. and told them, you can do what you want to do, but this is where I stand, and you need to know that the truth is where I stand.
And then
they respect that,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I was, you know.
Yeah, you walk away, it's still friends.
Right. You put out a movie called In His Image. I don't know if anybody has ever seen it, but it's a really, really good reference. Have you seen it?
Yes.
And one of the things that one of the main people in it, she lived as a male for a long time, like maybe almost a decade, I think. I can't remember. Anyways, she was asked, we went to an AFA conference last summer, and someone asked her.
Was it Siler? Last name Siler?
No, Laura something. Anyway, she's a big speaker now. But anyways, someone asked her what prompted her ultimate decision to come back. And she said, the one person in my life who didn't feed the lie. And they said, well, can you expand on that? And she said, my mom would never call me by the he pronoun. And everybody else in my life finally caved and would always call me that and always go along with it. And she said she was just in her apartment at one point and just knew. And she was like, I knew that that was the only safe, rational place because she was the only person who loved me, but never, she would always say, Mom, call me this. And she'd say, no, I'm not. That's not who you are. I'm not going to call you that. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye. Like, or whatever. And it was just really interesting to me that she said, that's what brought her back. The one person who didn't feed the mental illness. That's what it is. And so when you finally have a moment of clarity, you're kind of like, wait a minute, who's on my real side? And maybe you could be that for someone, you know, without even knowing that you are.
Speaking the truth.
Yeah.
Because true love wins out, right? Not love wins out. All right, we'll land this plane next week. We'll wrap up there because we're a little bit late. So, any final comments again?
And there we're sometimes afraid to say the truth because I think there's an underlying thing that if you tell the truth to somebody, you're judging them. And who are you to judge? And you have your problems and all that. And just as much as I do. And the fact is, you know, the idea of truth and love, there is spoken truth and love. You know, they even talk about Jesus didn't condemn the adulterous woman, you know. Yeah. But the last thing he told her was to know sin no more. He
right.
did. Exactly. You know, those type of things. But we're being taught that if we hold somebody accountable, if we have friends and tell them what they're on, you're judging them.
Right.
And that's not wrong, and that's between you and me and God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's prevalent too, because people don't want
it. And that's like what he said though, it's not up to you. You say, if you have a problem with that, that's this issue. That's not this issue.
Yeah.
Right. It's this issue.
Yeah.
Like, it's not between, I'm not judging, I'm just living by this. I didn't make this up.
You know, it all boils down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, and we're all, and the thing is we're all subject to that scrutiny. All of us. So. All right.
We got to protect kids from this kind of information because you never know what that stirs up in a child. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the key areas we have to stand against.
Sure.
So absolutely. We have to be involved. We have to be on the PTAs because even if our kids are separated from that, let's say they're in homeschool or they're in private school, right? These kids are still being exposed to this nonsense.
Sure.
And this evil look how confused these people are. And if you can get them confused about that, you can completely control their life.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So we have to start by protecting kids.
And the kids count on us.
They do.
They count on us to do that.
Very sad to me.
They count on us.
Heartbreak. I have one more comment about what's going on with our public schools. If we went with this school choice thing where the money followed the kids, the majority would truly rule. Because I believe if you could say, well, I'm going to take that money and send my kid to a private school or a home school that we've developed, you'd come up with some kind of a solution. But when they trap you and say, your kids have to go to this, we're not standing up for our children. We need to say, if that's the way the world wants to go, but that's not the way I'm going. That's not the way my kids are going. I'm going to protect my children from the exposure of this so it doesn't even enter their mind.
Mm-hmm. It depends on what else is attached. Because I would not put prayer back in school. Because what would that look like?
Who are they praying to?
Yeah.
What do you mean you wouldn't put it back in school?
I wouldn't legalize teachers to pray for our kids in
school. Okay, that's in a public school.
Yeah.
But in the private schools where the money follows the kid.
But if the money follows them over to Alpha, and I'm an administrator there, and they say you have to teach by this, this, and this, including this equal opportunity LGBTQ propaganda, I'll say no thanks.
Yeah, I would too.
I mean,
but still,
so school choice
is good.
Are you
saying the federal money? Are you saying personal money or federal money?
I'm saying that any money that goes government money, anytime there's money involved, which is always, it's going to follow the student, and so the parents would tell the school, not the government.
As long as it's that clean. But
yeah,
that's
what I'm talking about.
It's a government thing, so I don't count on it being that clean.
Yeah, well, I don't ever count on government for anything.
Care Center took government money for a while, and they had to change their rules in order to abide by what the government said, and that's why they don't know. Exactly.
Now, on the other side, taking any money out of the big coffers is probably a good idea.
Yeah, I'm for eliminating the federal government out of education.
Your one comment spurred a 15-minute conversation. I'm shutting you down.
Moving on.
All right, let's close in prayer, Lord. Sorry, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I thank you for the passion that we have. I think that our desire is to see you glorified, and a part of that process is the protection of innocent or less evil hearts and minds. And Lord, I do pray for strength for us as the adults in the room, that we have a sense, better judgment, that we have discerning thoughts, eyes, and ears, and that we have boldness in speech and correction, discipline, holding folks accountable, the whole nine yards, Lord, that we just we have the spine to do it and the willingness to take the heat for it, to pay that price, whatever it may be. And pray that you go before us in all these measures and endeavors. Pray for all of us who work in these areas that are full of evil, that you protect us in the physical sense and embolden our spirit to proclaim your truth on a daily basis. I pray protection for our church and the folks in the second service who may not have a relationship with you, Lord, that you prick their ears, tug their hearts, and you call them to become part of the family, Lord. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.